I'd like to draw this meeting of House Fisheries to order. It is 8:40 in the morning, and this is February 23rd. And present are Representative Ledoux, Representative Wilson, Representative Holmes, and myself, Chair Seaton. An announcement is that we will not be hearing HJR 4 today. It was scheduled for today and Monday, and we will be hearing HJR 4 on Monday. So if there's anyone online or here to hear HJR 4, that'll be introduced on Monday. And so we have today HB 137, Senior Fishing, Hunting, and Trapping Licenses. And this is a bill by the House Special Committee on Fisheries. And we are here today to, we have my aide here to present that. And just for the audience knowledge, we had presentation and questions earlier in the year about this program with Fish and Game, and the committee was in agreement that we should look at a bill to clarify the situation. So, are there anything else to come before the committee before we get started? Seeing none, Katie, would you identify yourself for the record and go ahead and introduce the bill for us?
My name is Katie Schau, staff to Representative Seaton. I'm here to present House Bill 137, which modifies the current permanent identification card, which is a free senior fishing, hunting, and trapping license. Currently, seniors receive this license for free for life. House Bill 137 requires the license to be renewed every 3 years and requires the senior to maintain permanent fund dividend eligibility. Currently, you apply for the PID program. This handout is the application in your packet, and you get a temporary license for 60 days, and then you are mailed a permanent one. There's also a copy of the what the card looks like on the back of that. However, this application process leaves open to fraud. It's difficult for Fish and Game wildlife troopers to enforce. Who has a PID license who may not be a resident. They would have to spend a lot of time on proving who is a resident because of the definition of Alaska resident, which is also on this application, would require a lot of investigative work for an issue that probably doesn't merit so much time. This problem of defining residency, Fish and Game created a handout that's also in your packet on guidelines for determining whether or not you're a resident to try and help individuals know whether or not they're eligible for the PID. We have heard various stories of abuse of this program. For example, more people have received a permanent identification card in the last 20 years than are currently age 60 or over and receive a permanent fund dividend in Alaska. So if you account for mortality, which we weren't able to because I'm not a statistician, and migration rate, about 6.3% of people 60 and over actually leave Alaska, it still would mean that almost everyone 60 and over has a PID, when the general population of residents in Alaska, 50% purchase a resident sport fishing license and 25% a hunting license. So there are probably some room for abuse there. Also, by tightening up the permanent identification card program, we could generate some extra funds, Fish and Game funds, from individuals who would otherwise purchase a fishing license or hunting or trapping license. Some anecdotal stories of abuse include in your sponsor statement on the Kenai Peninsula. We had a gal who works at Fish and Game talk about a man coming in to apply and saying he couldn't fill out the driver's license portion of the card of the application because he didn't own a driver's license, and then proceeded to get into a car without a state license plate and drive away. There are also stories from different wildlife troopers. The wildlife troopers, 75 troopers were polled and 8 responded with their experiences on the program. Some of them had very few problems. Others have stories where they thought that violations were evident. So I think, in conclusion, we believe that Alaskan seniors definitely deserve this benefit of the free hunting, fishing, and trapping license. However, some sidebars need to be put on the program. As the program currently exists, it's hard for even seniors to know whether or not they're eligible for the program, nor is there clear direction on what they should do when they move out of state with their permanent identification card. House Bill 137 provides that direction, makes enforcement of residency easier, and maintains the integrity of the program. Question.
Thank you. Are there questions for the sponsor statement of the bill here? Okay, I don't see any, so let's go to public testimony. And we have, we do have Kristen Wright, who's with Finance and Licensing Support for ADF&G in the audience for questions. She presented to us before. If anyone has any questions of them, we have the appropriate folks here. Is there anyone online? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on House Bill 137? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. And Representative Wilson.
I would just like to make a comment. They're going to have to kind of redo the permit then. And I would suggest that if they're going to give out permits that are glossy, that it requires a signature, but people can't write on it because it's glossy. And so if they're not going to require a signature, or else they should require it before they make the glossy part, it might be a good idea to do that next time.
Very good. And we do have an amendment in your package there. There has been one identified question for us. So, Representative Wilson, would you move Amendment 1 for discussion?
I move Amendment Number 1 for discussion, and it's version C.I.
And I will object for discussion. Katie, can you run us through this amendment and what it's addressing, the problem, as well as what the amendment says?
Sure. Katie Shaw, staff to Representative Seaton. Permanent fund dividend had some problems with the original language in the bill because on page 1, lines 12 and 13, they believe the resident must maintain permanent fund dividend eligibility as described in AS 4323005. And the problem that they had is that the first two sections are two items in that statute require an individual to apply for a permanent fund dividend. And what we wanted to allow was that a resident who, for philosophical reasons or because they forgot to apply for the dividend, but who's still a resident of Alaska, to still be able to receive this benefit. So what this amendment does is it has the residency required is either the resident had to have lawfully received a permanent fund dividend in the previous year or maintain the same eligibility requirements and in 4323005 except for apply. Permanent fund dividend thought that they would be receiving a bunch of applications, late applications, just so people could have satisfied that requirement, and it would be a burden of processing for them.
Okay, are there questions? Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Katie, I'm not sure we've got this statute, the second part of the amendment, 4323005. Can you just clarify what that change, the specifying it to subsections A 3 through 7, how that changes?
Sure, and I'll hand out a copy of 4323005. It basically takes out section 1 and 2, or item 1 and 2, which is applies to the department and is a state resident of on the date of application, because those are both items that refer to actually applying for a permanent fund dividend. The remainder of the criteria that your president that you're present in the state for at least 72 consecutive hours at some time during the prior 2 years, citizen of the U.S., or a lawfully admitted permanent resident of the United States, and all the other requirements for receiving a permanent fund dividend, which are lined out in this this handout. We can go through those if you'd like.
And I believe what we're, the question here is, let's see, not only do you have the 72 hours, but you have to be 185, you have, for permanent fund dividend eligibility, you have to be a resident for 185 days of the previous year. So, because you can have an allowed absence of 180 days, but you have to be basically a be here for 6 months out of the year. I guess we do need to look at that. Where is the 185-day criteria on there? I'm not seeing it, Katie.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Holmes.
I think it's under subpart 6A6. Was at all times during the qualifying year physically present in the state, or if absent, was absent only as allowed under AS 4323008. I believe that subsection is the one that lays out the allowed absences or the amount of time you can be gone. I would.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Holmes. I wanted to make sure that we had everything correct there. And again, the permanent fund dividend folks were not wanting to have these applications come to them. So what this does is allows, there are a few people that say, well, I don't believe the government should be paying me money. And so there are some seniors that do not apply for the permanent fund dividend, but this allows them to submit to ADF&G the information that they were a resident under these statutes, and can then receive the permanent or the temporary identification card now for their licenses. Are there any further questions on or discussion on amendment number one? Representative Holmes.
I'd just like to say I'm very glad that this amendment was brought forward, because that's exactly one of the things I was thinking of last night. It's what if somebody forgets, or what if they actually just don't, but they actually are a legal resident. So thank you for clearing that up.
Further discussion? I'll remove my objection. Are there any other objections to amendment number one? Seeing no objection, amendment number one passes or is adopted. Is there a further discussion on House Bill 137? Normally we like to have discussion for several meetings on bills. We did discuss this earlier before we, as a committee, generated this bill. Is there any member who wishes to have the bill held for another hearing?
No, but
Representative Ledoux.
Yeah, I just have one question, and maybe this was answered in the previous hearing. Anybody have any idea how much it costs the state because we don't have this bill?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, there is a handout in your packet from Fish and Game. It says it's titled State of Alaska Permanent Identification Card Program for Resident Seniors, 60 years of age or older to receive a free sport fishing, hunting, and trapping license. And in that handout, Fish and Game has attempted to determine just for the last year the lost revenue to Fish and Game Fund for new licenses issued each year at $137,827. This is a very difficult figure to estimate because you don't know how many people received a license that are no longer living in Alaska or are maybe coming back and using one who would have otherwise purchased a out-of-state license. But this was an estimate that Fish and Game attempted to approximate.
Thank you.
And I think that the, you know, part of our difficulty is, you know, $137,000 isn't that much. However, there is a lot of contention between people that get irritated with seniors that aren't eligible or feel that it's a very unfair situation because there are non-residents that are using this program to circumvent the our licensing for Fish and Game. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am just wondering on a sort of a process standpoint, when somebody goes in to apply, my understanding is now they basically just have to sign something saying that they are a resident. And that's, they're sort of taken at their word, therefore the example of the person who came in said they didn't have a driver's license to show and then drove off it without out-of-state vehicles. It sounds like it's pretty much you take somebody at their word, you may be asked to see a driver's license or something. How would that change? Is there going to be some actual check against permanent fund records at the time of application? Would there be a check somewhere down the line? Would it only be checked against records if there were a question? And along that line, if somebody's out in the field, part of our discussion last time was, and I know I'm asking lots of questions all at once, but part of our discussion last time, as I recall, was about the fact that it was really hard to catch people, and therefore we didn't really know how much abuse there was, because how do you prove out in the field while somebody's standing there in a fishing stream whether or not they're a resident? They don't have their, you know, all of their ID with them. Is there going to be a good way for Fish and Game to tap into these records, these permanent fund records, to verify that?
And Representative Holden, we do have Kristen Wright from Fish and Game. She'll come forward and let us know what licensing will do.
Good morning. I'm Kristen Wright, and I'm the licensing supervisor from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And Representative Holmes, through the chair, yes, we are going to run that through the permanent fund dividend records. They're actually going to provide us each year with a file, and before we issue a permanent identification card, they'll have to have been on that list or go through the other process where they have to show us that they have met those criteria.
Okay, wonderful.
And so the whole goal of this is to get it so that we get those identifications and make sure that we are properly issuing licenses instead of issuing a 60-day license and then come back later and say, oh no, we won't give you, you know, we shouldn't have given you that license, because then I totally agree that we would have that field, you know, how do we check in the field for residency problem. Representative Ledoux.
So do I understand it that right now, can a senior just go into the Fish and Game office and be issued a temporary or issued one of these identification cards? I mean, on the spot. Follow up?
Yeah.
So how long is this going to take, this process of checking things?
Representative, through the chair, we actually turn those right around in our office. Those temporary licenses are good for about 60 days that they receive in their hands, but we actually send them a card within a week after they get into our office, a week or two. So we do plan to be able to turn those right around. It's not going to be a hard thing to check the name against the PFD file. So if they want to go fishing that day, it will be a problem for them, because they won't have they didn't think ahead and get their card, but.
So they won't be able to go fishing that day.
No. Well, Kristen, I just have a question. Is if Fish and Game is going to have the, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be electronic, but you're going to have it. Is there anything, any reason why they can't just call the office and say, does John Henry have, who's filled out this application, did they receive a permanent fund dividend last year? And that would be on your records, and it would be a yes or no answer. I mean, it was still there still would be only a temporary card until they got the other one in the mail, but is there any problem doing that?
No, there really wouldn't be a problem, and we can do that. I'd need to work with the programmers, but if we do have seniors who are technically savvy and go online and purchase it through our internet, we'll probably match their name, and they'll get, just like right now with a sport license, if you go online and purchase on our internet, you can go fishing right away with that temporary license, that we would do a match and tell them go.
Okay, well, yeah, because I would think that would take care of all the problems with, you know, 99.9% of the people, so that we would only have the people that say that they didn't want to get a permanent fund dividend, so that they hadn't applied and don't think ahead enough and want to make their application before the day that they want to go fishing. So I think that we're getting to very small numbers. Representative Ledoux.
Well, I guess I want to clarify something.
Okay.
Sometimes because government can do something doesn't mean that government will do something. So I guess the question to you is, can you assure us here that Fish and Game will run those license checks or permanent fund checks on seniors so that if somebody comes in and wants to go fishing that day, that it will be done?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, I can't guarantee, you know, everything, but I'm very confident. We're running an internet site very well. People love it. We have great programmers. PFD has assured me that this file is not a problem to give to us. They give it to other agencies. I haven't looked at the file myself, but I'm sure it's got name and address, and I can verify that the Jim Smith I have in front of me is the Jim Smith who received the PFD. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. I would be baffled that if it was.
Can I ask?
Is this a follow-up or another question?
Let's fine. Okay,
go ahead. Representative Ledoux and then Representative Holmes.
I guess I'm just wondering if right now, in order to receive one of these identification cards, does a person have had to have been in the state for any length of time?
So Representative Ledoux, through the chair, yes, you must have been in the state the previous 12 consecutive months.
Thank you.
Okay. And before we go to Representative Holmes, we've been joined by Representative Johansson. Welcome. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's obviously going to be a bit of a transition period here if this goes forward. And I was just wondering, we'll have a lot of people who've assumed, I think part of the problem here all along, part of it is of what we've been hearing about colloquially of the problems, I think part of it is probably due to actual intent to circumvent the system, and part of it is just confusion over the fact that people get what they think is a permanent ID card, and they think it's permanent, and they don't realize they're breaking the law. But there's going to be a transition time when we get all these people accustomed to the idea that that permanent ID card is maybe no longer valid, and they need to come in for a temporary card. What steps does the department plan to do to reach out to all those people out there who have these to let them know that we're under a new system?
Representative Holmes, through the chair. A couple questions come up to mind, and I haven't spoke to the Department of Law. Definitely one of the things that we plan to do, and that's why I put in a fiscal note, mm-hmm. We do plan to send out a letter to those people every 3 years to remind them that it's time to renew, because I just don't think you'll remember in 3 years that it's time to renew. How to reach the people that are already in the system. I'm not, I don't, that's the question I have for law is, are those people grandfathered in, or are they now part of the new system? And that, I don't know, and I'm sorry. I need to find that out.
And Representative Holmes, the Department of Law is going to give us that answer.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have it right now, but either way, I think that you would be, if they're grandfathered in, that 43,000 are there, and whatever number of those would be used, those would be recognized over time. If they're not, you would be sending out notice to everyone so that they could reapply. Is that correct?
Chair, you're correct. Okay. Yes, we would need to do that.
Okay, thanks. Are there further questions? What's the wish of the committee? Representative Wilson.
I move House Bill number 137 along with its fiscal note and individual recommendations. An attached amendment.
As amended.
As amended, okay.
Thank you. Are there objections? Seeing none, House Bill 137 as amended will move from committee with the individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Are there any other things come before the committee today? Any committee discussion on other topics of fish and game? Seeing none, we are dismissed.